You're right. And let's bring in Steve Phillips, who is more experienced in the art of prognostication than you and I. Steve, I know we use the Memorial Day as the kind of the line in the sand when you're evaluating your roster, but are we at the point of concern with the Toronto Blue Jays bats after everything we've seen 42 games into the season? And good morning, Steve. What's up?
Good morning. Yeah, good morning, guys. It's right to be concerned. Usually Memorial Day is a good marking point to be able to start to look at a team and say, okay, this is who we are. You know, we're not a good team. We're a good team. We're a bad team. We're a hot team. You got a pretty good sense because you can ride some of the hot streaks. You can see some of the cold streaks, and you've got a sense of who a team is. And I got to say that it's right to be concerned. Now, I don't know if it's right to be panicked yet, but you know, this is a team that everybody thought would hit. And even with the loss of Marcus Semien, everybody thought this team was going to hit. You know, even Matt Chapman, who has underperformed offensively the last couple of years, is not going to swing the bat like Semien, but defensively, you know, what he was going to do to the left side of the infield and what he's going to do for Bichette, that there was going to be it might still be a net loss from Semien a little bit, but the thought of another year of Bo Bichette, another year of experience for Vladdy, for Lourdes Gurriel, for, you know, Teoscar Hernandez, that everybody would be able to step forward. They'd score more runs. It's been disappointing. There's no question. And look, they're definitely better than how they performed. And so the question is, what is wrong? And within the team, now, there's no question they're working hard. They're trying hard. And the likelihood is they're at a point where they're trying too hard. That being said, something's going to have to change. And the issue is, do you find another hitter out there right now? Where do you play them? You know, for instance, like Lourdes Gurriel has always been the guy I thought, well, you know, he needs to kind of figure it out a little bit. And you know, he shows flashes, but they need him to really get locked in and be productive on a regular basis. They need one more bat to really sort of get going. And ideally, somebody from within's a problem right now because they're all feeling the same way. They're all feeling the same pressure. They need something from the outside to change this. Or some action from the outside. And so the question is, what can they do? It's early. There aren't a lot of people available unless you're going to go out and overpay. But they're at a point where if I'm, you know, Ross Atkins, Mark Shapiro, I'm starting to look for answers from outside that might be able to spark things a little bit for me, because this is, you know, a little worrisome right now.
Steve, I don't want to take this away from Blue Jays talk, but you mentioned the word Marcus Semien, and it just sparked an article that I read about him 2 days ago, how he is the worst player in baseball right now. He's batting 182, zero home runs, and they just signed him to a massive 7-year deal. I mean, you talked about them missing Semien. I guess they're not really missing Semien that much.
No, right? I mean, honestly, it's they made the right choices. I mean, Gosman over Ray and Simeon's the worst. Chapman's not been great offensively, but first, my heart breaks for Marcus Semien because he's such a good guy. You know that he's beating himself up inside, and the reality, what ends up happening when you're struggling, and you see this with the Jays, they compete against themselves. They're not competing against the opposition. And so you end up getting in your own head. You end up, you know, so stressed and so uptight. You leave the ballpark. You don't enjoy life. You know, you feel like you went, oh, let me go to a movie and get distracted, and you're not distracted. And so it's one that for Marcus Semien, the pressures of a new contract, and I've seen it before, the pressure of a new contract where a guy goes in, he starts to try too hard and try to overdo. I thought he would be protected by Corey Seager a little bit, to not have to stress out like that, because Seager had the bigger contract, was in there with him, and that he might be able to sort of, you know, blend in some. But, you know, once you start to struggle, and especially for a guy who cares, which we know Marcus Semien does, the more you care, when you struggle, the more it hurts. And the more pain, physical pain, it becomes for you. It's honestly, watching him, he's having zero fun out there right now. And how can you if you're playing this poorly? And so it's just, it's a reminder of how thin the line is from confidence and lack of confidence and success and failure. Even the best players battle those demons in their head sometime.
I guess the only fun that Marcus Semien has is checking his bank account every 2 weeks. I would have a lot of fun if I was him in that respect. Yeah. But yes, I understand exactly what you're saying. Steve Phillips is our guest, our MLB analyst here at TSN, TSN 1050. Back to the Jays, Steve. You mentioned Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro looking externally for help. Are you talking about a trade? Are you talking about perhaps replacing Guillermo Martinez, the hitting coach? How do you think you would proceed if you were in charge of the Jays right now?
So the last resort I would want to take is changing hitting coaches. Because we saw a lot of growth from these young hitters with Guillermo Martinez. So it's the last thing that I would want to consider. And yet I did it a couple times and changed hitting coaches. One time it really worked. One time it didn't have the sort of impact that I wanted. And so that's the last resort. So I really do think going outside the organization, to be able to find a hitter, somebody that could change the energy, change the dynamic, and to be able to bring somebody in that could be able to do that. And I'd start looking at, those lesser teams right now and who might have somebody available, to do something. What would Cincinnati have that might be able to do something to spark our team? What would, the Royals have, if anything, to spark our team? Just finding a piece that might be able to get things going a little bit, and turn things around. And so, whether it's a DH and bringing somebody in that could do that. But they, at some point, you need something to change the energy and dynamic. And there's so many things you do internally. You cancel batting practice. You take extra batting practice. You change the lineup. You sit certain guys. You move it around a little bit. I mean, I remember back in the day, I think it was Billy Martin did it. He put names in a hat and drew the names out of a hat to make the lineup for a day, just to make everybody sort of laugh a little bit and change the energy level. Something, right? And you're like, oh, it seems gimmicky. At some point, you do something to change the energy level to where guys smile and have some fun again and remember what it feels like. At some point, they're going to have one of those blowout games. It's inevitable. They're going to have one. And you hope that it doesn't fall through their fingers. Sometimes that confidence, you grab onto it, and then for whatever, it melts and runs right through your fingers, and you can't hold on to it. If they can have a day or two where they really explode offensively, I think they might remember who they are and what they are as a team, but they've kind of forgotten that a little bit right now.
Steve, with everything that you said about the things that a manager tries to do, Charlie Montoyo has been trying some different lineups and stuff like that. He's been making some very questionable decisions when it comes to pitching. I mean, I just refer to one on Saturday where Alek Manoah's pitching a gem. He has a chance to pitch his first ever complete game at home in front of 40,000 fans. Has the Cincinnati Reds team under total control. He's at 83 pitches, and Montoyo yanks him from the game, and his response is, well, I got the best closer in the game. Do you think Montoyo's starting to lose some of the trust around the players right now, and how much pressure or how hot is his seat right now considering the struggles of the Blue Jays? I mean, I'm looking at the standings. They're closer to Baltimore in the bottom of the division than they are the Yankees, who are at the top of the division.
Yeah, so I don't think that he's losing the players or, this issue, like with Manoah, this is one that, when I do a national show, it's a story. Every team, every manager is making this same decision. They're all making the decision. They're all giving time and they're taking innings. They're taking guys out second time through their lineup. We've seen perfect games and no hitters. I mean, so we've seen perfect games and no hitters versus, a guy having a really good start, and being taken out of a game. And so it's pretty common that's the way people are managing now. I think that with 83, 84 pitches, I might have opted to leave him in because, your thought is, okay, I need to protect an inning, right? I can save an inning for Manoah. I can save some of those bullets in his arm for later. But we also know how much Jordan Romano has thrown this year and how many games he's appeared in. And he was a little dinged up too. And you're faced with one thinking, okay, well, which way do I go here? Do I protect Manoah? Do I protect Romano? The issue is that the likelihood is that even if you're say, okay, I'm going to send Manoah back out for the ninth, I'm going to start warming up Romano. And if you're going to do that, then you should probably go ahead and bring him in. Like, that's the logic, is I have to get him warmed up anyways. And so let me go ahead and bring him in, because it's the fresh arm in that situation, a different look. Let me go ahead and do it. So the logic, I understand why people might get frustrated, but from his perspective, if I'm going to warm up Jordan Romano, I'm going to use him. I am not going to warm him up and sit him down. And then what I do is I burn him for tomorrow too.
Well, it's the Jays and the Cards in the second of their series, and we'll see if the Jays can get to 12 home runs in the month of May. By the way, Aaron Judge alone has 11 home runs, the same as the Toronto Blue Jays, Steve, in the month of May, which is a crazy stat, a testament to two things. Aaron Judge is on fire, had two more last night, and the Toronto Blue Jays bats, not so much. Steve, thanks for doing this. Ice cold. We'll catch up with you later this week. Thanks, man.
Okay, guys. Great to talk to you.
All right, that's Steve. Our MLB insider, Steve Phillips.
By the way, Judge, I commented on that Manoah thing. That was an absolutely ridiculous move.
I agree with you, Montoya. I agree.
Like, considering knowing your team and they struggle to score runs, knowing that Jordan Romano pitched the night before, knowing the gem that Manoah was pitching in and how much he did not want it to come out of that game, and you brought in Jordan Romano, all I kept thinking to myself is, he's in total control of this game. Let him go out and finish it. And then if you need to on Sunday, which was a close game again, you have Jordan Romano available. Instead, you decided to pull the most bonehead move that pissed everybody off, including Manoah, for no reason.
Yeah, it was a very questionable decision. I didn't like that at all, and it really was nonsense. They're at home. They're playing Cincinnati. You and I could close out Cincinnati. I mean,
would an extra 7 or 8 or 9 pitches really hurt Manoah at the way he was going? Like, come on,
Cincinnati. Yeah, I didn't like that at all. But, you know, I don't know, that's why Charlie Montoya's in charge, and you and I are sitting here talking about it. But, I mean, the way the Jays' bats are going, it's just, it's tough to watch them, man. It's just the runners in scoring position. I don't know what is wrong with their approach, or if this is just a ticking time bomb, and they're going to explode at some point. Because you have to expect Vladdy Jr.'s going to go on a tear at some point. I mean, I just feel like remember when he hit that three-homer game? We're like, is he going to hit 60 this year? And now, like, the question's like, is he going to hit 30 this year? Yeah. So it's amazing how a couple of weeks, maybe a month, can change the way we look at things and the narrative surrounding a ball club. But, man, the Jays got to get going. It's tough to watch these guys right now. Our producer, Arad Asfandi, back from Bermuda. A weekend getaway. He'll fill us in on his trip for the Morning Scroll, and we'll talk to our hockey insider, Chris Johnston, in about an hour. So many topics around the Stanley Cup playoffs and with the Toronto Maple Leafs. They bring back Mark Giordano, a 2-year deal worth $1.6 million. First up rolls on. This is TSN 1050.